I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hi everybody, welcome to another episode of Serious Issues. We are a weekly comic book podcast. I'm your regular host, Andrew Levins, and with me are my irregular guests, Jackson Bailey and Joel Dusha.
Hello.
Here we are. I am a regular.
Yeah, obviously. Out of all of us,
like if there were... Yeah.
You know, everyone knows that about you. You don't need enough fiber.
If there was like a... Oh, I see. Yeah, I'm not shitting, right? That's true. If you could buy Jacksons at the store, I specifically of those Jacksons would be in that bin near the checkout, near the chocolate that's a day just before it goes out of date. And I'd be, yeah, on special. And you'd pick me up and you'd be like, I'm just going to pay the extra and get one I know is good. You know?
So you can hear Jackson and Dusha on the Sans Pants podcasts, Plumbing the Death Star, Thumb Cramps, and Baseless Speculation. And today, they're here to talk with me about the comics, Crisis Zone, Hawkeye, and Transformers the Manga.
Oh, yeah.
So, Dusha, you picked Matt Fraction and David Ayer's Hawkeye run.
Yeah.
Why are you revisiting that now of all time?
Well, what Andrew Levins and Jackson Bailey, my two good friends, and the audience, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Later this year, November, I believe, there's a little program called Hawkeye heading to the Disney Plus streaming service. featuring Hawkeye, that's right, Jeremy Renner himself, and...
The Renning Man.
The Ren Man.
And his protege, Kate Bishop, who we have not seen on the silver screen or the television screen yet, but we have seen a lot of in the comic books. In particular,
Haley Steinfeld.
Made famous.
Haley
Seinfeld, yep.
I gotta shoot a bow! Yeah. Dad! You know how fucking Jerry Seinfeld sounds like that, right?
What's the deal
with airplane mode?
Yeehaw!
I'm Jerry Seinfeld!
Fucking
George!
Yeehaw Seinfeld that you watched.
Kramer, why don't you just damn knock on the damn door?
I don't want to share food with you anymore, Kramer! Yeah. Jerry Seinfeld.
What do you mean, no soup for me?
So, the Matt Fraction run is apparently what has inspired the Hawkeye TV series, so I wanted to revisit the comic book in preparation, because I fucking hate Hawkeye in the MCU, but this comic book is really good, so I'm trying to warm myself up for Jeremy Renner's performance. I'm not looking forward to the adaptation for a couple of reasons. One, I really don't like the idea of Jeremy Renner being paired up with someone in there. I think Haley Steinfeld is like very, very early 20s at this point in time. Yeah. And I know that like it's a father-daughter relationship, but Jeremy Renner stresses me out as a man. Anyway, yeah, look. Camp Renner and stuff. Like, it's bad. He's...
Mm.
But yeah, look.
Yeah, he's no good. Great recording artist, but as a person...
Yeah.
Do you listen to any of his EPs, Jackson?
No. Well, not entirely. I've heard some of his
He's
songs.
He's got two. He takes his music career extremely seriously.
Probably more seriously than his acting.
Yeah, I would say so. What's that one where he ends up, he like drives somewhere and he gets out at like a steakhouse or whatever?
I think that's all of his film clips that happen.
They end with getting out of the steakhouse. Yeah.
Finally, some damn steak!
What?
Oh, Hawkeye's a yeehaw man now too?
He's a yeehaw Jerry Seinfeld as well? God damn.
Kate, fetch me my damn bow and arrow!
I'm the only Avenger who doesn't have superpowers!
I know like at least 10 Texans that listen to this podcast. Yeah. And I'm not apologizing to anyone.
I don't even think you could make a solid argument that it's a Texan accent, really.
Yeah.
I think we're in the clear.
It was nothing.
We're not offending anybody.
People that genuinely grew up. I'm just apologizing to people that genuinely grew up with Yeehaw Seinfeld.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, banjo. Oh man, surely that exists. Someone playing the Seinfeld theme on a banjo.
Oh yeah.
I might make that the intro music.
Slap banjo.
People are like, what the fuck? How is this intro music? And then 2 minutes, they're like, oh, I get it now. They explain
Seinfeld,
themselves.
Of course.
Yeah, so the Hawkeye comic, it's like, when did it get published? Like 2013 or something?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, anyway.
Bow, ba-dum, bow,
bow.
It's like, it's a really, really, really good run. I haven't read it the whole way through. I own the, because it's part of the Marvel Now collection, I own the two volumes of it. And yeah, I started reading it when it came out, really liked it. Don't think I read the whole run the whole way through, because Matt Fraction leaves just before the end, I believe.
No, he finishes this out. There's a big farewell issue, and then I think Jeff Lemire took over the series.
Oh, that's right. So yeah, Matt Fraction does the first two volumes, and then...
But when this was being published the whole time, it was... Like, there were huge delays.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. It was much like Jackson. It was a regular.
Jackson. Yeah.
But yeah, it's like quite a funny and well-written and easy to read comic, but also has like the heart and the character of Hawkeye that makes you relate to him or at least understand where he's coming from so quickly without really any effort. And something that I think that is important for a Hawkeye adaptation, because like it's very self-aware of the fact that he's just a guy with a bow and arrow that can do acrobatics. And he's in the Avengers with actual wizards and actual the Hulks.
For sure.
And yeah, it starts off like start of issue one. It's just like, I'm Hawkeye. This is who I am. And these are the stories. I'm part of the Avengers, and these are the stories of when I'm not with them, basically. So issue one is a... he basically encounters the mob... The Russian mob in his area hassling the tenants in the same building he lives in, saying they've tripled their rent and kicking them out. And Hawkeye basically tries to not take them down, but kind of make sure that everyone in the building gets to keep their house. And also, at the start of the issue, he falls off a building. So it starts with him in hospital, basically, being like, yeah, look, I'm just a man. I should not be doing stuff like this. And I think the one like really good thing with this comic is occasionally in superhero comics you'd be like superheroes will do something where you're like, that if that happened in real life or if that happened to a regular person, that would go totally differently. And I think the Hawkeye series is really good at kind of will occasionally slam on the brakes of the pacing of a thing for that exact reason, to be like, yeah, okay, if someone else did, like in a comic maybe something like this would happen and there'd be no repercussions and everything was fine. But in this one, too bad. Hawkeye's just a guy. Bad things happen to him. So, for instance, in issue one, he just, like, bursts in and is like, look, I've got the money. I'm just going to buy the tenant. And they're just like, no. And then they beat him up. And, because, obviously, like, it wasn't just going to be like, you can't just roll into the underworld, basically, and be like...
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I've solved all the problems. They're like, get out of here, Hawkeye. We don't respect you. And like also something that Matt Fraction does with such ease in this comic book is just builds the world of like what Hawkeye is dealing with just immediately and so easily. It's like such a good read. And I know that I am not saying anything new about this comic. It was acclaimed at the time. It's still acclaimed now. And here I am being like, yes,
it hasn't gotten worse.
It is good.
Yeah, well, I mean, the character of Clint Barton had never really been seen before like this.
Yeah.
He's always been like, they definitely have explored that, like, he is just a guy who can shoot arrows really well on a team with genuinely superpowered individuals.
Yeah.
And, you know, how does he survive? How does he relate? That kind of thing. But this like kind of like constantly down on his luck, but like, you know, always trying to do the best that he can version of Clint Barton is entirely made up for this run, and it has become what the character is kind of known as in current continuity of the comics. And I haven't really seen this side of Clint Barton in the Jeremy Renner rendition.
No.
So I can't see them suddenly doing that for the series. I think we're going to see like, oh yeah, he has a dog that likes to eat pizza.
Yeah.
And Kate's in it. But I can't see much else from this run, especially Clint Barton's personality making it through to the series. But I would like to be pleasantly surprised.
I think that's, to be honest, that's what I'm concerned about, because I think they will try and do that, and he's just going to feel like a totally different character. Because
absolutely, I don't think Jeremy Renner has the natural like charisma to be able to pull that. I think we're seeing the best Jeremy Renner has to offer already. So I don't think there's any
The Bourne supremacy or whatever it was, Bourne ultimatum, was that
it's Bourne identity, Bourne supremacy, Bourne ultimatum, Bourne emergency, and then it goes Jason Bourne.
That's right. It is the Bourne legacy.
Legacy. That makes sense.
Of course. Yeah.
Or Mission Impossible 4. He needs some of the best acting in that too.
That's his best movie by far.
Yeah.
Great film. But yeah, I think that we get a little bit of this, which makes sense because the movie came out around the same time that we're starting to do this in the comics, but it kind of starts popping up in like Civil War and even a little bit before that. Like they try and make him good in Age of Ultron, but look, I didn't buy
it. They go to his house, certainly.
Yeah.
Well, you find out he's a family man.
Yeah.
I think that is the era that I liked his rendition of Hawkeye the most.
Yeah. Yeah.
Age of Ultron, he's one of the few things I like about that movie.
Yeah, that's...
And then when he shows up in Civil War, I think he's great.
Yes. Mm. Then again, they cook it straight after that because they make him Ronin, which sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's like 10 movies between Civil War and Endgame where he just doesn't... They didn't even put him in Infinity
War. That's true. In hindsight is very weird.
He's just not there. He's just not around. That rules. Mm. Just we're fine. Who cares?
Look, we've been saying Matt Fraction a lot, but I think a lot of what makes this comic so great is the art of David Ayer, Aja. And who else? There was like, I think Javier Pulido shows up, Annie Wu, Francisco Francavilla. Like so many excellent artists show up for this run. And I remember reading it as it came out month to month in singles, and it just feeling like such a crazy breath of fresh air. But now so many comics have been so directly influenced by this that it just kind of blends in.
Yeah. Well, even like, and this is a different tone, but does feel... Wait. Oh, no, I'm right. I was going to be like, I think for a brief moment, I was like, wait, am I about to say another comic reminds me of this, but was also written by Matt Fraction, so it makes a lot of sense, but no. I think that even like, and this is a much darker take on this, but even like the Tom King's Vision run feels a little bit like it's inspired, like showing...
Yeah, I don't think you get that without Hawkeye,
Sure. Like showing a team up, like a character that's mostly... only shown in like team up events, what they're doing separately, and giving them a family and like a normal ish life.
I guess like
it's Matt Fraction's fault we got heroes in crisis, everybody.
Because it's like ultimately it's humanizing a character, which is a thing that happens shockingly rarely in like Cape comics. Like it's just not a thing that you might get like what is like on paper humanizing a character, but actually is it's like the equivalent of being like, here's Hawkeye's wife, see, he's just a person, but like that actually that's meaningless if you don't do the work to make it like an effective like characterization.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it is funny to think of heroes in crisis as like, what if we humanized them all? What if every superhero? And we just did it in little spurts. We just give them one interview, humanized. Everybody gets their own mini.
You get humanized, and you get humanized.
Exactly.
And now you're dead.
Yeah. What if
now he's dead? Yeah.
What if it was a murderer? I love Tom King, but look, he has some misses, much like every writer.
I love you are like, yeah, this is your like new brand, Tom King apologist, Joel Dusha.
I've loved him for
ages.
You
chose the wrong podcast to do this on. No.
That's why, like, I've loved him since I found out that everyone hated him. Like, I liked him before that, and then I was like, oh yeah, he's critically acclaimed, right? And everyone was like, no, stop making everyone sad and human.
Oh no, it's not. But write sad comics for sure. Like, you know, a couple episodes ago, we talked about the importance of sad art. But I think it is like it's a one trick pony kind of thing for him, and that pony is not always very well written. I do still love the Vision run he did, Omega Men, and Sheriff of Babylon.
Yeah,
that's my holy trinity of Tom King comics that I'll defend.
Yeah,
the rest. Sorry, Buster.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, like I had a blank briefly. Had a blank there briefly of what Matt Fraction had done. But yeah, I really, really like Sex Criminals. Although I haven't read the last volume, and I have heard after it took a break, it did not come back at full strength.
It ends really well.
Oh, okay, cool. I shouldn't listen to Joel Zammit. He told me it sucks, and I don't know why.
No, I get it though.
Yeah.
When you follow a book month to month, it is very easy once that delay sets in and it finally comes back. Like, we're going to get a lot of people saying this when Saga finally returns, that it's not as good as it used to be. And the thing, it's not that you, it dipped in quality. It's that, like, you stopped being able to read it at the rate that you were used to.
Yeah.
You lose that momentum for sure.
Exactly. Momentum is like such a killer. And like, so unless you like go in anticipation for Saga, like I'm totally going to reread all 60 issues before that, you know, if that returns. Because like I loved it all the way through to where we got to now.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see where it goes next. And I think, Sex Criminals, the delays happened in the middle of an arc that was exploring depression. So yeah, it was very easy to be like, why the fuck am I reading this comic?
Sometimes you just have to start again. I remember that with the last BPRD comic for the pretty much the end, at least in the timeline, of all of the Hellboy series. There was a big break as well. And I jumped back in and I was like, I don't care about any of this. And it was releasing week to week. And I was like, it's too fragmented or whatever. But then, I went back. Same thing happened with Paper Girls, where, like, I got to the end of Paper Girls and then took a massive break and came back and they were in space or some shit. And I was like, I absolutely not invested. Couldn't be invested a tiny bit. Then went back to the beginning again. I was like, oh, that's right. That's why this comic's so great. So sometimes you gotta get a run up again.
But Dusha, if you need some Matt Fraction recommendations, he wrote... Casanova, which is a really crazy sci-fi series that he did with Fabio Moon and Gabrielle Barr.
Yep.
That is real fun. Jacko, have you ever read that one?
I don't think so. I've read the first issue of it. A bit familiar.
Wacky, sexy space comic.
Hell yeah. Mm. One thing that just caught my attention that, Jackson, I think you probably have read because it feels like a stupid thing you'd love. Is that Matt Fraction wrote the revival of Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen.
That's a recent one. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
that's really so much
good. Because I was just had a quick look. I just tried to see how many issues it was and found out that these are like a couple of things that happened in the original run of like most of the issues focus on Jimmy Olsen transforming his body in some way. Mm-hmm. He gets really fat at one point to stop a jewel smuggler. I don't know how that happens, and that's not Matt Fraction's run, but boy, am I curious.
But you wouldn't get Hawkeye, Matt Fraction and David Ayer's Hawkeye if they didn't do The Immortal Iron Fist, which is a comic that Matt Fraction co-wrote with Ed Brubaker.
If you
haven't read that
combo, I love
it. It's fucking great.
I love Ed Brubaker.
Yeah, yeah. They're friends. Like Brubaker, Fraction, and I think Bendis are like the Portland comic boys.
Yeah.
Did Matt Fraction do 30 Days of Night?
I don't know.
Maybe
30 Days of Night.
Did do a comic called November with Elsa Chartier, which I really like. Satellite Sam is a really good set in the days of television first starting.
Yep.
That's fantastic. And it's art by Howard Chaykin, who I'm sure is a horrible person, but his art is very well suited to the story. Yeah, he's got some great, he's got some absolute bangers in his. He did do 30 Days of Night, Blood Sucker Tales.
Oh, okay.
But Steve Niles is who you're thinking of, that created 30 Days of Night. Iron Man. That's a great Iron Man.
Yeah, Matt Fraction is one of the, because I have a kind of strange relationship, well, not strange relationship with comics, but different from Hugh Levins, Hugh Jackson, and Zammit, regular guest of All New, All Different, Serious Issues, which is I usually, like, I won't just pick a character I like. I usually will, like, kind of latch onto writers, or, like, I'll buy a trade that has caught my attention just based on, like, a premise or, like, reviews, I guess, rather than just, like,
What's my relationship to comics? I just try and read too many of them until it affects my life and family.
Yes. Or, like, I mean, reading every single issue one of a week, like in a month, is a little different to what I would ever do.
Yeah,
just a little, just a smidge, yeah.
Just a tiny bit.
So yeah, like I bought Hawkeye knowing that it was already good. Occasionally, I'll take a punt with something that I don't know anything about, and it's turned out good sometimes and bad other times.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's a real gamble.
That's part of the gamble, baby. I love that gamble because sometimes you find yourself reading like, you're like, this is the worst piece of shit I've ever read in my life. How did this ever get published?
And not a single person in my life that I know will read it as well. Yeah, it'll just be this one thing that I'm the only person that will experience.
Yeah,
that's why I have to tell people about it on my podcast.
Yeah.
Read a bad comic, be like, well, I had a bad afternoon, and that's my fault, and time to move on, I guess.
No, there's been a couple of times where I've read stuff from people's suggestions and I don't know why I took them, but fucking, I don't know if you like this comic book, Levins, but Jackson, I know you hate it, and I know that the author went on to write something that was liked a lot more, but God Hates Astronauts was something that I was like, oh yeah, I'd like this, and I fucking hated it.
Well, I mean, yeah, comedy comics are very difficult for me to get into.
Yeah.
That was written by Ryan Brown.
I think he then wrote Curse Words after that.
Oh, yeah. But Curse Words, even, I was like, I like this initial premise, and then I was like,
He just did the artwork. That's a Charles Soule book.
Ah, okay.
He did the artwork.
Anyway, well, even that.
God Hates Astronauts sucks shit.
In Douche's opinion.
In my
independent
opinion.
Comic book, God Hates Astronauts.
Oh, and
but yeah, actually, that said, that the Hawkeye, the comedy in it is always good.
Yes.
Especially its use, the use of onomatopoeia is some of the best I've ever seen in a comic book.
Yeah.
The at one point he breaks a window, and the onomatopoeia is glass.
Well, even just like one of the things that happens pretty early on is Kate is talking to him as he's like doing target practice. And to show how quick he loads up his bow and shoots three arrows, her dialogue is split up into individual characters, like individual letters.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that. At first I was like, wait, what? And then I was like, oh no, that's sick. I don't know why this just came back to me. But also, I just realized that you didn't name Mr. Miracle when you said Tom King's stuff you liked.
Oh man, fuck that comic.
That's some divisive shit right here. I can feel the tension in the Zoom call.
It's a joyless, joyless romp.
I thought it was unreal.
There's one very iconic panel from the Hawkeye run that we're talking about, and I wonder, will they try and do it? It's Hawkeye naked, jumping over a bed, and where his dick and balls would be is being covered by a picture of like a costumed head of Hawkeye covering his junk. Are we going to get that?
Oh, I hope
Jeremy Renner, Stark is jumping over a bed with a picture of
himself,
his face with covering his nuts. That's like please be brave. I don't want to see it, but I more importantly don't not want to see it.
Yeah,
I want to see it. I want to see it more than anything. Also, do we think that the series is going to start in the same way the comic book starts? Of like, you're probably thinking, you're probably wondering how I got here. This looks bad. That's the first line.
I just can't imagine Jeremy Renner's Hawkeye being that self-defacing. Like, I just can't imagine him being that humble a person. It just seems so impossible.
Yeah.
Will he still have a mohawk?
No, there's been leaked. He doesn't. He has a different haircut now.
How many does it, does David, does Matt Fraction ever write how many Japanese people Hawkeye's killed in his run?
No, but he does mention
died in unrelated circumstances.
Weirdly, though, he does mention in this that he was a ninja for a bit and he doesn't want to talk about
it. That is,
oh, yeah, like, Ronan is, I know that Ronan is a big part, but the fact that right at the start of this run, he's like, yeah, I was a ninja for a bit, I don't want to talk about it. They can just take that.
Yeah, that's true. They can just use that again.
Yeah.
I think Madam Mask will be in it.
Yep.
In the series. Mm. I'm pretty sure she'll be the big bad. Obviously, Kate Bishop is going to be in it. We're going to get the pizza dog. And maybe his brother will be a character.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, like you said, like the main reason I like this comic, the self-defeated kind of like nature of Clint Barton.
Yeah.
I can't see Jeremy Renner pulling that
off.
Yeah,
but I think they're going to try it. I think that the first episode of Hawkeye may, in fact, be pretty much the first issue of this comic. Like,
so
him falling out of
reckon Hawkeye's gonna buy an apartment building and it's gonna be set with him living away from
family
in a New York apartment.
Yeah. Maybe him and his wife had a divorce after the snap. She's like,
that would
don't
be
kill,
very funny.
Don't
that's
kill
how,
Japanese
I mean, that's
people
how
just
you get
I
this
died.
Version, I guess.
Yeah. What the fuck? That's fucked up.
We had a rule, Clint.
Don't you remember our wedding vows, Clint?
If me and the kids ever mysteriously disappear with half the population of the world, you are not allowed to go and kill hundreds of Japanese people in the underworld.
Oh, actually.
But babe.
I just realized that, and look, this is spoilers for the movie Black Widow. So if you haven't seen Black Widow, skip ahead briefly. But I forgot that Florence Pugh is in the series, so I guess it'll take a totally different turn.
Oh yeah, true. Good point. That's funny.
Anyway, spoilers are over.
Hey, speaking of Seinfeld, Julia Louis-Dreyfus is probably going to be in it.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, speaking of throwbacks, let's throw it. And speaking of throwbacks, let's throw it all the way back to last week, where we promised that we would check in with the Hamilton porn parody.
That's true.
Hamilto and Levins, is it a full musical?
I can confirm that the at least like the 3 minutes that I skimmed through the opening 3 minutes, no nudity, all musical, baby.
It's just another musical. It's not even really a porno.
But instead of like saying I will not take away my shot, it's something my cock.
Huge,
beautiful. Very good stuff.
Elegant and elegant.
Strongly recommend Matt Fraction's Hawkeye run. Although I am probably digging a hole for myself where I will finish reading this, be really jazzed for the Hawkeye series. It won't be this. Jeremy Renner will still suck, and I'll be like, God damn it. Although Hayley Steinfeld. Yeah. Seems like a perfect
Kate Bishop.
I'm keen for more Florence Pugh.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah,
I liked
too.
Her
I
character.
Her so
she was the best thing about Black Widow.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Please.
Segue away.
Well, you had a look like Jackson, what have you done?
Jackson,
comedy.
What have you done?
Jackson, this is the worst fucking segue I've ever heard.
I got thrown by Levin.
Fuck you.
Speaking of comedy comics, as we were briefly before, fucking hell. I have been reading I guess it was a web comic, but now it's in print, Crisis Zone by Simon Hanselman. So Simon Hanselman has a series, I guess they're like little indie comics. Not based on the Meg Morganal children's characters. They certainly are named Meg Morganal after the children's book characters, but I think somewhere Simon Hanselman's like they are emphatically not the same characters. Because these versions are basically drug addled like losers living in a share house in I think what is meant to be Australia, because Simon Hanselman is Australian, but I think it's kind of like a vague Never.
No, I think it is America.
Oh, it is America. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Crisis...
That's where he lives.
Oh, that's where he is. Okay, yeah, fair. So Crisis Zone is a... was written during lockdown, so it was written during 2020.
Yeah.
And it's effectively just what happened to these characters during the beginnings of the COVID pandemic.
Yeah.
But because these characters are just... fucked. Things obviously very quickly get very fucked.
I haven't read Crisis Zone, but I think I have seen the webcomics before. Well, I would have read some of it, but a lot of people in, I don't know why, but in the Melbourne, both music scene and comedy scene, people seem to really love this comic. But weirdly, more music scene people. Like, I reckon during Crisis Zone, when it was being published daily or weekly or whatever it was on Instagram.
I think it was daily, yeah.
Yeah, like, I reckon every single day, the comic would just pop up in someone's story on someone I follow.
Well, it was incredible. Like, it's I don't think there's really any other comics out there like all of the Meg Mog and Al comics that Simon Hanselman does. Not just Crisis Zone, but also like Mega Hex and Megan Mog in Amsterdam and all of the other like little kind of ancillary sort of comics that he produces, where they are so, like, they're hilarious. Like, they are so funny. Like, there's one comic where Werewolf Jones, this is what I always remember, where Werewolf Jones, who is this werewolf, obviously, but who is just like this
sex addicted
maniac. I think there's one time where he's talking about how much sex he's having, and he's like, I'm gonna grind this city's asshole into dust, which is such a great phrase. And he's like trying to smuggle hats across, like, onto a plane to go sell hats with his two fucked up kids.
Yeah,
and they're like, you can't do this, these hats are not, like, they're, you just can't bring them across the border. And then they're like, two security guards beat the shit out of him. And the last shot is just him lying face first on the ground. And then it's his ass. And then just two spiders climb out of it. And it's just the last shot. And you're like, Werewolf Jones is fucked. He's in fucking trouble. But that is so funny. It always makes me laugh. But then some, like, it will just be, it'll hit you with like the most depressing, upsetting, like single image or like conversation that's so real and so just like such a bummer that like it's this a wonderful like I guess contrast. Like, anytime Werewolf Jones, and it's, I think it happened twice, becomes a human again, it is always the saddest shit. Like, it is always heartbreaking. Like, I think there's one, it might even be in Crisis Zone, where he gets arrested and he's in jail, and he's like, well, hopefully my friends will be able to help me out or whatever. But because none of the people in any of these comics are good people,
yeah,
nobody goes to help him. And it's just, the last shot is just him in a jail cell, and then, like, light streaming in from outside, and he's just a sad man, and you're like, oh, damn. Fuck, these people are in trouble. Crisis Zone is, I think, a little more chaotic and a little more, like, fantastical than some of the other Meg Mog and Al books. Like, often they're shockingly grounded, really, given that one of them is a witch, one of them is a cat, one of them is an owl, and one of them is a werewolf, but like, and one of them is a boogie monster, but like, generally the stories are fairly grounded. But Crisis Zone, yeah, they do like a Tiger King parody, there's like a cyborg at one point. The Tiger King parody, by the way, is called Anus King, and it's about Werewolf Jones. So yeah, this one, it does get a little less grounded, and I mean, it remains very funny, but I think in a way it loses, occasionally, not the whole time, but it loses a little bit of that. Like, I don't know, I think sometimes the Simon Hanselman's comics get so grounded that they're too grounded, and I love that. I love when they're so grounded that I'm like, oh no, like, I'm underground at this point. Like, it's it feels dirty down where I am. This isn't like, this character has been too humanized, you know, to kind of build on what we were talking about before.
Are you
like
the most recent run? Look, the title card is 28 Days Later, so I don't know if that's...
No, I might not be. Simon Hanselman at the moment is reposting a lot of their old work to Instagram. So I don't know. That might be...
Because he reached like the biggest audience he ever has, because during the height of like lockdown during COVID 19 in 2020, he was posting daily strips, so 10 images on his Instagram
a day,
telling this long form story, and then they released that as Crisis Zone.
But then he's taking stuff from like Mega Hex, and he's got a bunch of other like little seeds and stems, I think, is just sort of like stuff that he's written that doesn't fit into any like larger story, and he's posting all of those to Instagram. But yeah, so it's really good. I've always thought, Dusha, that you would love it. It's got It just seems right up your alley. It's upsetting, but it's also very funny. These are people living terrible lives in terrible situations. Nobody is good. People always get hurt.
Everyone's always ripping bongs, too. They love bongs.
Everybody's always bonging on or fucking shooting
having
up.
Having anal sex.
Yeah.
Or having anal sex, yeah. Or, yeah, popping LSD with Satan on it or whatever. Or there's a great arc where Meg and Mog, who are a witch and a cat who are dating, they're like, they're really high and they need food, but everywhere's shut because it's like 3 a.m. But then they're like, we can break into the deli around the back because I reckon that the back of the deli where the storage is, that's always open. So they go there, they open it up, they go inside, they're like, it's too dark. And they're like, just grab whatever you can. And they come back and they have like a jar of olives, a pound of mystery meat, and like maybe some pickles. And they're like, well, I don't want to eat any of this. And then the cops knock on their door to be like the next day to be like, oh, do you know anything? And they're like, we're done. What we've got to do is we've got to go back in and order everything that we bought, we stole last night, so that if people are suspicious of us, we've got a receipt that we've bought it all. But then, like, to get the mystery meat, they're like, just give me everything, just in a big ball or whatever. I don't know. It's great. It's real good. They hide in a tree, and I think Al, in the end, goes to jail for it.
Yeah.
I really love it. The art is all hand-drawn.
Yeah.
And it's all done by Simon Hanselman. All of the art, all of the story. I really recommend it. It can get a bit, like, they do really tackle some pretty heavy topics occasionally.
Yeah.
And there is no... like levity. Like there's no moment where all of this upsetting shit is cut by like something good happening. Or it there is, but it's exceedingly rare. So it is ultimately, I would say, a pretty depressing read.
Yeah.
But it's also so entertaining and all of the characters are so well written that I definitely recommend it. That's Crisis Zone, but honestly, Mega Hex, Megan Mogg in Amsterdam, Bad Gateway, any of the ones that Simon's released, if you can somehow get the hentai that he made of Megan Hogg. Good luck to you. But yeah, they're really good. I recommend them. Big fan.
Awesome. So that's Crisis Zone. You can read it on Instagram, but the soft cover collection is gorgeous, out now through Fantagraphics. And we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and I'm going to come back to talk about Transformers.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Yeah.
Thanks, sponsors.
Thanks, sponsors. Now,
I'm going to talk about Transformers.
Yep.
First of all, I want to know what your personal history is with this enormous franchise is.
At the same time, as if possible.
Yeah, That'd be great.
So yeah. 3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1.
I watched Beast Wars when in the 90s.
Same.
It was
pretty good.
Yeah, my mum had promised to buy me a cheetah transformer from Beast Wars where the axe was the tail. Sorry.
Cool.
When the cheetah transformed into the robot, its tail turned into an axe. But
that's
I cut
it.
A hole in my school shirt that day So I got in trouble, and I tried to claim that I had torn a hole in my shirt climbing a tree, but it was a perfectly round hole in the middle of my shirt because I had, like, bunched it together and then cut the top off with scissors just to see what happened. And
yeah,
that is...
I was going to ask. I was like, any reason, a dare, but no, just to see what happens.
Yeah, I think... I don't know. I can't remember if it was a dare or not. I just remember that my mom was furious at me for not only doing it, but then trying to lie. I didn't get that toy. I really liked it. Optimus Prime was a gorilla in Beast Wars. Then my next Optimus Primal, I think his name is. Anyway, that ruled. Optimus Prime, truck, lame. Gorilla, sick.
Yeah. Gorilla, sick.
Then it rolls around into the early, mid-2000s. I go and see Transformers on a date. We both hate the movie. I hate the franchise from then on out.
Yeah, fair. I also watched Beast Wars as a kid. I never had any of the toys, but I think I did have a Transformer once, and I was really excited at the fact that they could transform, but then when I did that, I was like, well, I don't want to play with a truck or a man, so I never played with it. I just liked the fact that it could transform. And then I think I saw the first movie with a friend, and I just didn't have an opinion on it, but he was like, it's terrible, and I was like, okay, sure. And that's my memory of it. Yeah. Mm.
I'm a bit older than you guys. Yeah. So at one point, Transformers was as inescapable as Ninja Turtles were. I had a purple boat.
Hell yeah.
or a plane. But it was purple and it could transform from a man, monster, robot thing to a plane or boat. I don't remember the name of it. But every time I would go to someone's house, for a birthday party, we would put on the Transformers animated movie and everyone would cry at the end.
Yeah.
And for a while, that was all my year two birthday parties were like. that movie animated in Japan and enormous in Japan. And Viz, who published a lot of fantastic manga, recently, at some point last year, released three volumes of Transformers, the manga. And I read Volume 1, which is a gorgeous little hardcover collection. I actually bought this for one of my friend's sons, who's six years old, and just starting to read, obsessed with Transformers. He's the kid that just has, like, just a big tub full of robots.
Yeah, hell yeah.
We all knew one of those kids, and Omar is that kid. And I was like, I'm going to get him into manga because his older sister already loves it. So I bought him Transformers the manga, and I was like, I might actually read this because a previous guest of the show, Connor, has reviewed this on an episode of Serious Issues last year. The story is by Masumi Kaneda, and the art is by Ban Megami. And these stories originally appeared in a manga. It was in a magazine called TV Magazine.
Yep.
And the name of the Transformers manga, it's the first time Japan had Transformers stories in Japan. So this is in 1985.
Yep.
And the name of the comic was Fight Super Robot Lifeform Transformers.
That's
yes.
And that so rolls. These are the collected editions of this, and the art, first of all, fucking spectacular, as good as it gets. I cannot stress enough how wonderful this very fun, and always is so much happening in every panel.
Yeah.
The stories are 15 pages long and so much happens in them. I've tried to read a lot of Transformers comics because Sonic, apparently that's where all the best stories are.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And my biggest problem with Transformers is that I can't tell them apart.
We should check out Sonic comics then. They all look totally different.
Yeah.
I've actually got a whole bunch of Sonic comics in my house because my housemate loves them.
The Archie shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to do that one day. I want to lock myself in a room and I can't leave until I've read all of the Archie Sonic comics.
Knuckles' parents get a divorce, and that's a really big arc in the comic pretty early on.
That's so appealing.
Yeah.
When are they going to put that in the video game?
Yeah, exactly.
Press divorce X to get divorced.
Divorce zone, act one.
Dun, 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 dun. Wait, I just did a Mario theme song. Yeah. Sorry. I should have been. Dun, 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 voice. Anyway, so manga, of course, black and white. Even more difficult to tell these damn robots apart. Also, the Decepticon logo and the Autobot logo, they're like almost identical.
Very similar. Very similar. I was reading, but, you've just reminded me, I was reading an article about when the early Transformers toys were released, how much Transformers lore was basically extrapolated out of like misprints and fuck-ups. Like, I think it's one of the planes. They're like, he used to be a Decepticon, but actually he changed it around and now he's an Autobot. And that is literally because when the toy was shipped out, it had the Decepticon logo on it, but it said Autobot on the like packaging. And so they were like, we can explain this.
He's obviously.
Both. Don't worry about it. And there's even Transformers. In the article, they were saying that there were Transformers that were released that had no name or affiliation, and nobody knows what that transform. There's like a mystery Transformer that was released as a toy, and it was in a color that no other Transformer was, and it didn't have a logo on it. And people are like, who was this guy? He was never worked into the story. Who is this mystery Transformer? But yeah, it's so funny how much, because I mean, they were toys. Like, at the end of the day, they were just toys. So how much was worked backwards is so interesting and so funny.
So this manga takes place within the continuity of the cartoon series, except every, like, the first few issues, there's three stories in this, like, and each story has like 10 chapters. Mm-hmm. And at the start of like every chapter, in the first story, all the Autobots come to Japan. They're like, hey, we're in Japan again. And the Decepticons are there. They're causing a bunch of havoc. And then a boy is almost crushed by like some falling debris caused by the Decepticons shooting shit around. And he's saved by an Autobot. And that kid is named Kenji. And that kid is the main character of the Transformers manga. And he's always rolling with a bunch of Autobots. And he drives inside of them. And that means that because he is inside one of the Autobots at all times, it means that you never see all of the Transformers transform. Because if they transform with him inside, he'd be crushed. So every like battle pose, it'll be like a, like, you know, like five robots like punching the shit out of a Decepticon, like flexing, yeah, kicking shit, and then just an ambulance.
That's so funny.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Anyway, like I said, it's difficult telling the different Autobots and Decepticons apart, but luckily the plot does a lot of that for you, because the Decepticons do a lot of really evil stuff. Like in one of the chapters, they kill a dog.
Yeah, that's so funny. Why? How do they kill it?
So they're like using experimental robotics on a dog. And then the dog becomes too powerful, and so the entire chapter is the Decepticons trying to track the dog down so they can kill it before it becomes too much of a dangerous weapon and destroys the Decepticons.
Oh, that's funny because the
dog sees true kindness in the Autobots who tried to save him. His dying wish, he transfers the power to the Autobots, and then they beat the shit out of the Decepticons. It's one of the best things I've ever read.
Oh my
it's
god.
It's so stupid.
And it's just a normal dog prior to that. Like, just a normal
just
dog.
A dog. But like, yeah, like the first panel in this story is just fucking Megatron kicking a dog.
That's so funny.
Wow.
Make You've that the Transformers already. Movie.
Transformers and also, Kenji keeps getting pulled, like, because he's in a car all the time.
Yeah.
Like, there's multiple instances of, like, adults seeing a kid in a car. Like, at one point, a policeman's like, hey, stop that car right now. You know that kids can't drive cars. And then the Kenji comes out and goes, but I wasn't driving, ... And then the car yells out, transform! And then the police officer says, it was an Autobot warrior? Our apologies. It happens, like, pretty often in this series.
That's awesome. That's incredible.
Every like, final panel is a punchline. But like a weird punchline, like, yeah, a bunch of things will die, like a dog, for example, and then it will still try and end on a joke.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Just like an absolute brilliantly drawn collection of complete and utter insanity.
Yeah.
That I'm so glad exists in a translated format that has been, like, I just love, like, what is so great as about Viz as a publisher is that they find things that haven't been released yet and they give it, no matter what it is, they give it the same level of love and respect.
Yeah.
Like the final third of this book is just like full color concept art for all the Transformers done by the artists who did the manga.
Oh, that's crazy.
And if you love Transformers, like, I could not recommend this more. Also, if you love, stories where robots kick dogs, you're not going to find anyone better than this. So yeah, that's Transformers the manga volume 1. Obviously I'm getting volume 2 and 3.
For sure.
I may not even send this one to little Omar, so sorry in advance, kid, but that's how life can be sometimes. that's our reviews of this episode. Jackson, Joel, thank you once again.
No problem.
Another killer ep. Ex Machina. No, was that this episode? I can't remember.
No, it was Hawkeye. What did you do this week?
Hawkeye.
Yeah.
And Crisis Zone. And Transformers the manga. If you want to come and discuss these comics and more, you can come join us in our Facebook group, which can be found at facebook.com/groups/seriousissuespodcast. Jackson and Joel can be found on the podcast Plumbing the Death Star, Baseless Speculation, and Thumb Cramps, and more. Thanks so much, fellas.
No problem. Hey, anytime.
Thanks for having me. Yeah. Literally anytime.
And next time we talk to you, I think Zammit's back, and I think his ban on talking about the X-Men has been lifted.
Oh, no.
There's two times.
Bags not being in that one.
No, it's you, me, and Zammit, Jackson. Oh!
And then I think
God damn
the week
it.
After that, which is also alarming, is I think his ban on June will be up.
Oh, God damn it. Bag's not being in on that one.
I'm in so much trouble.
He can do that one by himself. What if every episode we do with Zammit, no one tell him, one of us reviews the Transformers manga chapter where Megatron kicks a dog?
I think that's a good idea.
Perfect. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Adios.
No worries. Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.